Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to The Socialist Insight with Stuart Alexander. Obviously, I'm not Stuart Alexander. I'm Ruth Anna Marte Fio, and I'm a big fan of this Alexander Mendoza campaign. So today, I'm going to be questioning Stuart. We're just going to start out and have Stuart introduce himself and tell you a little bit about him, and then I've got lots of questions for him. Hi, Stuart.
Well, thank you. Thanks again, Ruth Ann, for inviting us. I should say, for hosting this program, the Socialist Insight has given the Alexander Mendoza campaign an opportunity where we can come to our listeners and supporters on a weekly basis and be able to share what has taken place with this campaign. A lot has gone on, and a lot has developed over the last year since we were nominated by the Socialist Party USA. And as you mentioned, I'm Stuart Alexander, running as a presidential candidate with the Socialist Party USA, and Alex Mendoza, he is the vice presidential candidate representing the party. But beyond that, we are representing a socialist agenda because we, with the Socialist Party USA, we believe that that's what's needed in America. Millions of Americans can see that capitalism has been a complete failure. We can see that we are without jobs, we are without health care. We see that our rights as U.S. citizens and our rights as human beings are being destroyed by the capitalists and also their functionaries that are in Washington, D.C., and also in the various state capitals. And we believe that it is time that we have a voice in government. And to do that, we need to have representation not only in the voting booth, by people going and voting, but we need to have candidates that are running for public office that believe that we need to take a different direction with this country. And that's what the Alexander Mendoza campaign is all about. So anyway, this evening, Ruth Ann, you and I, we're going to be discussing some various issues and sharing a lot about what the Alexander Mendoza campaign is about today.
What it's all about, exactly. And what is it? Well, this is Monday. So Wednesday, we have the presidential debate. And to me, this is a farce.
It is a farce.
So, right. you know, it's two men who are basically on the same side. They're way far
exactly.
Right. And they'll have a couple different things to say. But it seems like a waste of time for people to think they're going to get something new and revolutionary out of this. And we know that the minor parties have not been invited. In fact, they've been stymied at every turn. So
right,
that's
exactly.
Why the debate is only two people. You want to talk go ahead.
As you mentioned, third-party candidates, minor parties, are not even invited to these debates.
No.
This is only a show for the nation. So when you flip on your television, it's basically like looking at the X Factor, or looking at American Idol, or looking at a baseball or football game. And basically, that is what is it is. It's just a game when you watch the debates
it's
between the two.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. But as far as, is there going to be any difference if Obama is elected or if Mitt Romney is elected? No, because they represent, they have the same agenda.
People, yes.
I think when you look at these two candidates and you even vote for Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, it's basically when you go in the voting booth, you might as well just flip a coin, heads or tails, and you can make your decision based on that. Will there be any significant change after November 6th with either of those two candidates? No. But if you had a socialist that was elected into office, there would be some serious changes in government. Not only would it be changes, it would not be changes such as reforms, but we would be looking at making a total transition from the system that is not working for working people today.
Exactly. And no one with their brain screwed on right would think that things are working today. With the being one of the minor parties, would you just give us a little bit of the tell us some of the challenges with ballot access? This has been a big one, I know.
Well, I agree with you, Ruth, and this has been the most challenging task for any minor party. I live here in the state of California, and trying to run as a candidate to receive either full ballot access or to run as a candidate in full ballot access for a party or a candidate must receive 872,800 signatures just to get on the ballot. Many of the states, such as Alaska or Indiana, whether it's Maine, some states can range anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 to well over 100,000 signatures just to get on the ballot. Not to mention that there are additional fees for many of these parties to be able to get on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
That is a major challenge for any of the minor parties. Not to mention that it's very costly. Today, in the political arena, it can cost hundreds of millions of dollars for a candidate to be able to run a successful campaign. So we believe when you look at the political system, the way it's set up today, it is not set up where it is a fair ballot access for candidates, and the whole electoral process in this country is completely flawed. So it's very important that we take the big money out of mm-hmm. out of politics on a state and federal election. So we definitely need various laws that are in place for campaign reform on the federal and also the state level. And much of this is taking place on a state level because many of these restrictions are on a statewide level.
Mm-hmm.
And it works to the benefit to the two corporate parties, the Democrats and Republicans.
Exactly.
So we're calling for reforms for that whole political process. I might mention just recently, several months ago, American Elects, they did qualify here to be on for the California ballot. Of course, they are not running any candidates, but that party, they spent approximately $3 million just to qualify for ballot access.
And
they're not running anyone.
We don't have that money, and we've got candidates.
Again, this was just big corporations that put, again, just like the presidential debates, to put on a show. So it was to make people appear like they had a choice. A choice for a third party candidates, but again, it wasn't a serious effort to be able to give people an alternative from the two corporate
candidates.
Exactly, for change.
The change you're talking about, I assume, would be getting shed of the Electoral College.
Right. The thing is, you have to realize the process that's required. First of all, when you run as a candidate in various states, you have to be able to get your share of the Electoral College where you can be a viable candidate. And, of course, that requires being able to qualify to meet the various qualifications state by state.
Mm-hmm.
Such as the Alexander Mendoza campaign, we have qualified in Ohio, also in Colorado, where we will be on the ballot, and also Florida. We're still working on a couple of states where we will be on the ballot, such as Michigan. Other states, what we do is to run as write-in candidates. So as we had a few weeks ago, we had Stephen Durham. He came on the program. And he is qualifying, and I believe, in just over 25 states as a write-in candidate. But this is, again, trying to meet those qualifications, which is a very daunting task for minor parties such as the Socialist Party.
meet qualifications to be written in. We're not even saying
right, exactly.
to have your name on the ballot, but to be a write-in. And as far as I know, you are not on the ballot in Illinois.
Right, we're not on the ballot
that,
in Illinois.
And so I will be writing in Stephen Durham because he's a socialist and because
right.
I'm voting. But this is so wrong, this whole system.
And we did qualify as write-in candidates for Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and that will give people an opportunity where they can vote for the Alexander Mendoza campaign and also to be able to vote for socialist candidates as well. You have to realize when you vote for Barack Obama or you vote for Mitt Romney, basically you're voting for a capitalist system that is completely corrupt.
Yes.
A system that will never work for you. So people say, well, if I vote for a socialist candidate, if I vote for you, I hear from time to time, that's like throwing away my vote. Well,
absolutely
if you vote
not.
For Barack Obama or you vote for Mitt Romney, you're still throwing away your vote.
Well,
so we say make your vote count. At least count for something you believe in. Don't
well,
vote for
one of
candidates
them.
That represent something that you don't believe in,
mm-hmm.
and they represent something that will never work for working people.
If you vote for one of them, what you're throwing away is your conscience.
And exactly.
That I mean, I'm so, because I used to, I mean, in my life, I voted several times for the lesser of the two evils, and this time I just can't stomach it. That whole phrase makes me want to hurl. You know, and somebody's talking about how can you? You know, how could you vote for either? And then people say, well, voting for the lesser is still voting for evil. Well, it most certainly is. So your conscience
exactly.
must play a part in this. Sorry, people. But,
well,
really
back in the 90s, I was faced with that same thing in the early 90s and especially approaching the late 90s. I followed that ritual, and it was
mm-hmm.
very habitual where when it was time to vote, I was just – trying to figure out the lesser of two evils that I wanted to vote for. And it was in the late 90s I started saying that I'm not looking to go between looking at parties on a ballot that I don't agree with, voting
yeah.
for people that are trying to improve what is not working, or voting for people that want to keep what is not working.
Right.
And that's
when
I made a commitment to support socialist candidates and also to change my registration from being a Democrat with the Democratic Party for over 25 years to voting what I really believe in.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that is a major change. I know there's been some people who have said, well, we should just boycott, and they say that. I'm going to show them. I'm not going to vote.
I think that's the wrong approach also. I do not believe that you accomplish anything by not voting, because if you don't vote, basically you don't have a voice. By voting, sometimes you are definitely making a difference, whether it's on a statewide level where once the votes are counted, it can make a difference. Let's look back when Eugene Debs was running for president at the beginning of the 20th century, and he received, I believe it was somewhere close to 960,000 votes in the 1912 election. Well, the thing is, you have to realize the significance of that. People could not even fathom a socialist presidential candidate receiving that many votes here in the U.S. Well, the thing is, as
we couldn't fathom
people,
them right now, but that was 100 years ago, and there were many less million people in this country.
Right, right.
Many
so
less.
We need to support the socialist candidates. We need to support third party candidates. We need to support people that are representing or speaking for change in this country. We're not under any illusion that come November 2013 that we're going to have a socialist in Washington, D.C. That's not going to happen.
No.
But the thing is, this election can show the discontent that people have with the two-party system. And that doesn't happen by sitting at home and boycotting the election and not voting. That happens when you go out and cast your vote, and you cast that for a third party. I'm not a Green, and I don't endorse the Green Party, but even if you vote Green, I'm not with the Freedom Socialist Party, but if you go and vote third party, vote for Stephen Durham. Vote for Stuart Alexander and Alex Mendoza, because we are third parties.
Exactly.
But we need to express our discontent and vote for the minor parties, the third party candidates. But as I mentioned, that cannot be done if individuals boycott and don't vote at all.
Right.
Then you don't have a voice at all.
Well, no, because people think that they're showing their disapproval, but they're just showing apathy. We know that the powers that be don't want us to vote. And like you said, whatever, if you can't vote for who you want, like I can't vote for you here, you know, vote third party, because together the third party numbers can mount up. And that says,
exactly,
hey, there's a group of people, they really do care about what's happening, and they don't like these major parties. So please do not stay home. Vote third party.
People need to vote for the third party candidates.
Yeah.
And this campaign we will have here in California, and we'll be getting the word out where people will be able to vote for the Alexander Mendoza campaign here in right here in California. That's very significant. Here's a state with approximately a little over 37 million people, but even write-in votes can make a difference here come this election in the next 5 weeks.
Ah, okay. And, that's very interesting. 37 million people, and vote for Prop 37, people in California. This is very important to the whole, it's important to the world. It's really important to those of us who it hasn't come up in our state yet.
Uh-huh.
California, we're looking to you, just to throw out there. We want our food labeled. This is the GMO labeling.
Right, exactly.
And we really want that.
You had mentioned one other thing that I wanted to touch on just for a second. You were mentioning about some of the challenges that we have as third parties.
Yeah.
And one of the things is third parties. You have to realize, especially with Citizens United, and you have big corporations funneling in hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into the campaigns of the two big money parties. This is something such as the Alexander Mendoza campaign, we have been completely dependent on people supporting our campaign, individuals writing us checks for $10, $15, $25 to keep this campaign going. We have been operating on a very shoestring budget, but this is one thing where people, where they have to realize that these minor party candidates, that they're going there to represent the constituents and the people that live in our own communities, people that you see when they're on the campaign trail, the people that they're talking to, those are the only people in most cases that are supporting those candidates. So this is one of the challenges that we have had, because people today are very strapped for cash. People cannot write those contributions for $100, $400, $500. Years ago in the 90s, I could have done that. If I even go back 6-7 years ago, I could have done that. But so many people now are out of work, unemployed. Their income, they're making less than what they did 5, 6, 10 years ago. So this is another challenge that all minor parties are facing, is the lack of funds that they are receiving from contributions. And that's one of the things we always like to remind our listeners is that this campaign is completely dependent on the contributions that we receive from people that support the Alexander Mendoza campaign.
Right, and because of this shortage of funding, you can't buy spots or get spots on TV and radio, et cetera.
True.
And so people don't, well, it's like, who's that? I've never heard of him. Well, no, you know, because he doesn't have corporate backing. And I know that you did get on nationwide TV. You've been on a couple different times, most recently with John Stossel.
Right.
Did you want to just comment about
right,
that?
Right, actually, exactly. We were on the that's the Fox Business Channel, and also we were on Fox News, and we were invited by John Stossel to come on as his guest. Now, some people objected to that because they didn't think that socialist candidates or third-party candidates should go on programs such as that. I have to say that when you consider many of the other corporate media stations, that at least they gave us an opportunity to be able to come on and share a little bit about our campaign, even though on that station is not received very well, or in most cases is not received at all. But we still had an opportunity where we were able to be there and represent the campaign and be able to still share through the internet some of the things that we have been talking about in this campaign for the last year and a half.
Right, and may I say, you were excellent. You were very
thank
cool.
You very much, Ruth.
you know, I mean, you can see the passion you had for this, but you didn't let anything get away from you, and you held your calm a lot better than I probably would.
Well, you probably I know that you viewed the program yourself, Ruth Ann, and Gary Johnson and Virgil Gould was invited as his guests also. Mm-hmm. And also Jill Stein, she was invited, and at the last minute she backed out from appearing on the show. Mm-hmm. But what I will mention is that when Gary Johnson, when he appeared on the program was basically there to showcase Gary Johnson, because John Stossel, he is a libertarian. He supports the Libertarian Party. So when he was doing his questioning and his interview with Gary Johnson, I can say that John Stossel was part of the audience that was cheering him on. And it was more adversarial when he was doing his interview with myself and representing our campaign. But nevertheless, the campaign was still received well by the audience, and I have gotten many good response from Facebook, from people that have already contacted us through emails, that they enjoy watching the program, and they enjoyed that we were able to be part of that process.
Exactly. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it was important to do this, even though some people were saying, well, don't go on Fox because Fox this and that. And, you know, sometimes you just have to say, okay, I know they're going to take things out and blah, blah, blah. But we need the exposure.
Well, the thing, what we have to consider also, if you consider the cost, which is this is something that we're going just on the public airways, and which should be free to all the third-party candidates anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, when you look at Fox and MSNBC and CNN and all of the local channels that you see every day, the corporate candidates are receiving hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every month in free publicity. Free publicity. So in my opinion, we deserve this. So we're not taking anything other than what we deserve. And some of the other publicity that we've gotten recently, we had Jim Lafferty, and he is with KPFK. We were here, I did the interview right here in the studio on 90.7, and also was shown in Santa Barbara, here in California, which is on 98.7, and Pacifica. But we had the opportunity to come on with the PSL party, Gloria LaRiva. She was on representing the Peta Lindsay campaign, and also Stephen Durham. He was on the program as well. It wasn't necessarily a candidate's debate, but it gave us an opportunity where we could come on, share, and talk about our campaigns. And it was a two-hour program, but it was still a means by which we could get the information out. And just recently, when I was in this Midwest tour that I did to Ohio and Indiana, we were interviewed on television by, I think it's Wish TV, which is Indianapolis, is one of the local stations, Channel 8, and certain other media outlets. I can't remember the exact channel it was on in Indianapolis. It was Channel 2, but also they did an interview with the campaign as well. So on a national and also local levels, we have been getting that media exposure for the campaign.
Right, and that's important. And what was amazing to me is the fact that Indiana is as socialist friendly as it is. And our friend John Strinka, who was with you campaigning around, he said that the area where he is, I mean, it's amazing how people are open. So, you know, areas
I think.
Yeah.
I must confess that I was surprised how well the campaign was received there in the Midwest, especially right there in Indiana. We had one of the local groups that sponsored the campaign to come and speak to individuals at a sports bar there. The sports bar was called The Sinking Ship. And we had probably, just coincidental that they had it, the sinking ship. Nevertheless, they didn't know exactly how many people they were anticipating. And it was a good sized group. It was around 50 people that showed up for this because they knew that we were in town to be able to share about the campaign. But it was something when we started opening up the floor where we were having people just to ask questions regarding the campaign and some of the issues that they wanted to talk about. And it was very moving because people, it was a lot of things that they wanted to express that in any other situation, they probably would not have done that. But it was almost like a session where people were able to vent their concerns about the process that has not worked for them, not only on the local level, but where it was not working for them on the national level. So they had a forum, and I'm glad I was part of that.
Yeah, it sounds like you were really well received when you were.
And the same thing in Ohio as well. When I was in Ohio, I spoke there at Baldwin Wallace University, and it was a very good experience. We were invited by the students and the faculty there. It was a very good turnout, a lot of good questions. And it gave us an opportunity to talk about many of our concerns in regards to education and the high cost of education here in the U.S. and that many states are experiencing as well. And when I was there at that university, and some of the students just talking about the cost, the annual cost, their tuition and dorms and everything, running anywhere from $38,000 a year, which is how in the world can a student be able to afford this going into moving forward in life where they're going to obtain a job and be strapped with this type of debt?
Right.
So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask. What kind of concerns did the students have? And I was sure that student loans is one, because like you say, if they're in debt every year for $30,000, so they were talking for 4 years, $120,000, they take a few more courses, so maybe $150,000 in debt when they get out of school, and there's no jobs for them. And
exactly.
So there they are. You know, besides the finances, what else were they concerned about, Stuart?
Well, obviously, the other thing, what you mentioned, they were concerned about jobs, because here in California, the average student is going to spend somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000 to receive an education from a four-year university. And after they spend $30,000 to $40,000, then they're not even going to have a job once they get out of school. So this is definitely a concern. And I see here in California, many students, once they graduate from school, then they're taking jobs where they're making anywhere from $8.50 an hour to making less than $12 an hour, or incomes that are less than $25,000 a year. This is what students are being faced with today. Here again, you see many of the students, after they graduate from college, they can't afford to move away from mom and dad because of the costs that they have incurred, and also facing the prospects of not even being employed. So that was probably the major concern that many of the students had. The other thing, students, they were asking the Alexander Mendoza campaign, and myself in particular being there, is how are you going to create jobs for us? So that gave us an opportunity where I could talk about some of the things that we plan to do to create jobs. And, of course, we'll talk about that, a little bit more of that during the program here.
Yeah.
But we were talking about how we need to make various shifts in regards to our priorities, spending shifts with this country, in regards to military spending, shifts in regards to how we are subsidizing big corporations and how we are taxing, especially when you look at things such as the Bush tax cuts, where it's only been to the benefit of big corporations, but it has not, those tax breaks, we have not really seen the benefits when it comes to the working woman and the working man. So these are some of the things that the students were concerned with. How are you going to be able to create jobs? And that was something I was glad to share with
you. How did the students, how did they feel about your proposed military cuts?
It was somewhat mixed.
Have they fallen for the hype? Since it looks like the U.S. is, we know the U.S. is with Israel. We just don't know quite how far.
Right.
And Israel wants to cause a war in the Middle East and have the United States come in and fight it. So, I mean, do students get that? Or
part of the mixed feelings that I can see when I was speaking to the group there is that some of the students, they look at the military as a means to
make a living.
Once they graduate from college, that they have a job.
Yeah.
And we don't think that you need to be able to depend on the military to have a job.
Well, this is not honorable. There again,
right.
You know, why would you think that that would be an honorable profession?
I understand to fight the wars and the conflicts that the U.S. and the government are getting into on an annual basis. No, because you have to realize who has the authority to declare war. But for this president or any president to be keeping American forces in any country against the will of the people, that is not honorable. That is not honorable. I do respect our veterans that go in and support or do that because of what they believe in. But the blame I put right there in Washington, D.C. I don't blame our veterans because they do that basically. Many millions of our young women and young men that go into the military, they're doing this because they need a job. Because if they had a good-paying job on the outside, many of them would not be enlisting in the military. Let's look at it. In myself, and I deal with consumers every day, and you have many young people that are in their late 20s and 30s and in the military, they're making anywhere from $35,000 to over $50,000 a year by being in the military.
Right.
If they had good-paying jobs here on the outside where they were able to make $35,000, $50,000, in excess of $100,000 a year, many of these same individuals would not be enlisting in the military, they will be going and looking for good paying jobs, especially when you look at many students that are in various universities and they're choosing various career paths that they want to follow. But what they do is they may join the military because they look at that as a sure thing where they can be able to receive income and benefits, as opposed to taking a job that would offer perhaps no benefits and low income and with an uncertain future. So this is what I see with many of the students today.
And they murder people, and then they come home, and then they kill themselves. Because
unfortunately, when they enlist in the military, that's what war is about.
Right,
and
but we haven't declared war. You know,
but the blood. I'm not putting the. I'm not saying the blood. I'm not putting the blood on, on our military troops. That blood belongs to Washington D.C.
Well,
Washington D.C. and many of these leaders, which are so detached. Leaders are so detached from those wars. The only thing they do is they send our young women and our young men into battle, and their own kids are going through universities and receiving good-paying jobs.
Sure.
But the working people, we're the ones that are having to fight their wars, and it should not be that way.
Well, and it's been said, and this is very possible, that one of the reasons why we have no jobs for the young people is because the powers that be want them for cannon fodder. And they know that they will go into the service, even though anyone with a good conscience wouldn't necessarily. But they know that they will because they have no job. And so they like keeping no job. So what did you tell the students? We've got 23 million Americans out of work. And how do you want to put them back to work?
Well, you have to consider that the U.S. right now, almost half of the budget that we spend for this country, almost half is for defense spending.
Yeah.
This nation is spending approximately $700 million, $700 billion a year just for military spending. If you consider that cost, it's like around $38,000 per second of what is being spent. We believe instead of funding the military to the tune of $700+ billion a year and funding big multinational corporations with all these subsidies, we believe that as with the Alexander Mendoza campaign and the Socialist Party USA, we can start creating real good-paying jobs for working people. And I'm saying create jobs right here, not create jobs where we can create these jobs in other countries for the cheap labor. Because this is what corporations always do. They look for they search the globe for cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
Cut back on military spending and start creating jobs. First of all, repairing our infrastructure here in this country. The U.S. infrastructure in every state is quickly deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
I look here in Los Angeles County. They have some parts of the waterworks projects in Los Angeles and the various sewage systems there in that city and county that is approaching 70 and 80 years old that has not been repaired. These are things that we could be able to create good-paying jobs for men and women and working people in this country.
Absolutely.
We need to develop mass transportation systems. We have probably the most expansive freeway system in the world right here in California. But that whole system, not only does it need major improvements, but also it needs great expansion to be able to move 38 million people here, a little over 37 million people here in the state of California. So we can be able to repair our highways and build new highways as well.
And the mass transport, like you were saying, I mean, more trains. We don't necessarily need to be polluting more. We need something that a lot of people can use.
Right. Yeah. We need to have rail systems.
Yes.
And I'm a very strong proponent of rail system, mass transportation. I think all of our freeway systems here in California and also the other states. We need to have a rail system that can be able to move people above the highways and also beneath the highways, and this should be in all of our urban communities. Mm-hmm. Even in New York, just recently I was in New York, and also in Chicago, where many of our subway systems, if you look at many of the subway systems in other countries, such as in France, and you go to China, you go to Japan, theirs are very modernized and very interesting. They, much of the design and when they were looking at how they were going to build their own systems, they built those on the model here in New York. But what we need to do is we need to start improving and building better transportation systems, not only for the inner city, but repairing the ones that we already have. The other thing what we need to consider is building factories where we can have electric cars and also where we can have cars that are running on solar power. So this is something that we believe that where we can have a renewable energies and also to help clean our environment as well. So there are many ways in regards, instead of pursuing war, mm-hmm. and spending money to spread U.S. imperialism and protecting U.S. interests or protecting the interests of big multinational corporations, we need to start redirecting these funds where they're creating jobs right here in the U.S. and putting our own people, putting working people to work.
Right, instead of the corporate welfare, which we have now, we
right.
need to take care of people. I wanted to ask...
And what I'd like to do very briefly for the people that are listening to the program right now and joining us, I'd just like to mention that we do need that support with the Stuart Alexander and the Alexander Mendoza campaign. We
Could you
are
give
running,
the address or how to get in touch with you all?
Right. I'm going to give the web address mm-hmm. where they can be able to contact the Alexander Mendoza campaign. That's Stuart Alexander, that's StuartAlexander for President 2012.org. That's Stuart Alexander for President 2012.org. And you can go to our webpage. We have a section there where people that are interested in making donations to the campaign, go to that and click that donate button, because we do need that support even in the last 5 weeks of this campaign. And we have received a lot of support. We still need more support to be able to run, to complete this marathon that we've been involved in.
Right, we've got 37 days left. Now, that's Stuart Alexander for FOR, President2012.org.
Exactly.
Exactly, okay. And click the donate. Real fast, I wanted to touch on a couple different things here. Women's issues, right to abortions, and child care for working parents.
Right, and I always like to... touch on women's issues, and you can see just in the campaigns for the Democrats and the Republicans, it seemed like the Democrats and the Republicans have just been completely on the attack of women, especially here in 2012. But it hasn't only been 2012. We have seen it for well over 100 years. But we think that, well, personally, I'd just like to speak with regarding my own experience when it comes to even where I work, and I'm a working person. I have to go to work every day and every week like everyone else, and I'm in the automobile industry, and the type of work I do, and many people listening to the program today, they probably purchase a car sometime in their lifetime, especially most people, within every 4 to 5 years of person to go and purchase a new automobile. And if you go into many of these dealerships, is very interesting. You don't even see women working in any positions other than working there as the receptionist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very often, and this, you can go anywhere in the country and see this. If you go anywhere in the country, if you go into any dealership in your neighborhood, any dealership in your state, and just go and visit the area where the mechanics work, dealers here in California do not hire women as mechanics. They can go in and receive training as a mechanic, but if once they get there and apply for a job as a mechanic, they will not be hired. I have worked also in various stores that I've worked in, and it's almost like an outstanding policy, and I've had managers says to say, we don't hire women in sales. And this is anywhere. But you have to consider also many corporations and businesses that women are discriminated against. And, of course, this mm-hmm. discrimination goes both ways because we live in a class society where they consider what a male should be doing and what a female should be doing. We believe it should be based on a person's qualifications.
And interest. I mean, if they like something and they're good at it, why not?
Right, exactly. So people should be receiving the training as well. And also when you look at the income, a male and a female doing the same work, the female is going to be paid at around 80% the same income as what the male is receiving. And this is not fair. And we believe that we need to have affirmative action to make certain that women's rights are protected in that area. The other issue that I was mentioning is when it comes to abortion. We with the Socialist Party USA and also the Alexander Mendoza campaign, we support an abortion on demand. We don't believe that the politicians, we don't believe Washington, D.C. or the various states should be dictating how a woman should be able to handle her own body. So this is something that we believe that is a right that a woman has. And also we believe that they should have contraceptives that are available to them.
Yes.
So these are some of the things, some of the issues. And also when it comes to the voting rights of women, we can see that women are under attack in all areas by the Democrats and Republicans and also under the current system that we have. So it was a couple of the areas that you had mentioned, Ruth Ann. What were those?
Yes, and the child care for working parents. Because
right, exactly.
Now, a woman, like you said, getting maybe 80% of what a man would make for the same job, and she still has to pay all these bills and take care of kids and pay child care.
Well, we believe when it comes to child care that, first of all, that this should be something that's available, just like public schools are available to for our children. I have seen within recent months and years that very often you can have a woman, you know, when you're speaking to a woman and they talk about not going and looking for a job, because the cost of child care can run anywhere from $400 to over $400 a week.
Over $400 a week.
So even if a woman went and or a man, a woman or a man going and earning $2,000 a month, that $2,000 a month, when you look at the net income that they would take home, would just pay for child care. So child care should be made available in the workplace, and it also should be subsidized by those businesses where those parents are working. We see it in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This happens right there in Japan, parts of China. When a woman goes to work, when a man goes to work, the children are taken care of, and it's not done at the expense of those families. So we believe that in the Alexander Mendoza campaign, we believe that funding should be made available not only by those corporations, but also the government should make this available where families are families are receive this type of support, and working families can be able to concentrate on the business of making an income where they can be able to take the needs, take care of the needs of the family.
Right. No, I mean, totally. This is only common sense, and it's just right. You know, I mean, sometimes there's something just right or wrong, and that's right.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of right, a couple minutes on gay marriage.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, we do support that right for
equality,
individuals.
Equality, whatever, yeah, you want to call it.
Right, exactly. They should, people should be able, again, this is a private issue where the state should not be able to come in and tell people who they should marry. This is something, again, this is something to divide class with class within our society. And we believe that people should, that is a human right, that people should be able to make that conscious decision and be able to make their own choice on that.
So many questions. I do want to remind our listeners that the second of November, on another show on this radio station called Feed Your Head at 8 o'clock Central Time, that'll be 6 o'clock Pacific, John Strinka, who we mentioned, and Stuart are going to be my guests in a special two-hour show. So the questions I don't get out tonight, they're on for that night. So that's in a month, right before the election.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You and John come in, yeah.
One of the things I like to what I would like to do is we're going to be having the presidential some of the presidential candidates debating in a couple of days. And what I would like to do is, Ruth Ann, if we can open up the lines on the week following the first debate, not all the debates, but open up the lines and take some calls where people get their impressions about this. Right, and get their impressions, and where we can be able to hear from our listeners rather than our listeners hear from us.
That's a great idea.
I think that would be interesting. And what we can do is we can open up the lines for like, well, 40 minutes, and just where instead of them hearing what we have to say about the debates, we like to hear what you have to say about the debate.
Yeah.
About the debates.
Yeah. So okay.
Is that a good idea, Ruth Ann?
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Monday the 8th, we'll open the lines and you can talk about the fiasco that we're going to have in 2 days.
and we'll start taking questions 5 minutes after the program comes on, and we'll do it for through the first 45 minutes of the program. So whatever questions you have, I'm not really interested in the debates, but I probably have to listen just so I can know what questions may come up, and also to be able to deal with any feedback.
It's like throughout the TVs, I won't have that option, but I know I can see them somewhere online, so I'll see how much I can stomach, okay? Otherwise, I'll just have to listen to other people tell me, you know, and then I'll get sound bites. So that'll be good.
And just a couple of things before we go off, Ruth Ann, I'd like to mention that, and this should just take just a few moments, some of the issues that we've been dealing with in this campaign where we see that the corporate parties, the Democrats and Republicans, they use it as a football during election year, such as the immigration issue. And we see that under this administration, that the Obama administration has taken a much harsh approach on dealing with immigrants as opposed to even the Bush administration. We believe that with the Socialist Party USA, we support open borders. We realize, again, when you have closed borders, and especially when you look at the immigration policies here in this country, is to divide class against class. Much of the problems that we have with immigration between Mexico and the U.S. has everything to do with our trade policies. we, under the Clinton administration, we came in with NAFTA. And unfortunately, NAFTA, what it did is it robbed many of the people from being able, on the south of the U.S. border, it robbed them of their abilities to be able to take care of their families. You have to consider also that Mexico is an agrarian society where people had to depend on the crops and corn to be able to take care of their needs, not only for their families, but also where they could be able to do it just for a living.
Yeah.
So we believe that with the Alexander Mendoza campaign is that we need to take a different approach in regards to many of the trade agreements that we have where it works to the benefits of both sides of the border. Now, NAFTA has not worked for the U.S., and it has not working people, and it has not worked for Mexico for working people. But what it has done, it has benefited, it has been to the benefit of big corporations on both sides of the border, just like the trade policies that we have with Japan and the trade policies that we have in China. The trade policies that we have in China, it is not really benefiting the needs of working people. It is giving them low-paid jobs where they don't really receive the benefits that they should be receiving. But these products end up here in the U.S. and also up in the global market, but it's being subsidized on the backs of working people at very low income pay scales. And we don't believe that this should be the case. We believe that we need to have good paying jobs for people not only here in the U.S., but also good paying jobs abroad.
Exactly.
Another thing that you brought up very briefly, Ruth Ann, was in regards to the conflicts that we see that are taking place in the Middle East right now. I want to make this very clear that the Alexander Mendoza campaign is very much opposed to any types of military aggression against Iran. We are opposed to this because we believe we see the same types of actions that happen in Afghanistan and the same actions that took place in Iraq, where it took the nation into a war that has cost us hundreds of billions of dollars and now trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And we believe that we need to close our bases, bring out the contractors that are currently in those two countries, and we need to bring our troops home. This is what we support. And also, not only bringing our troops home, but we need to make certain that they have incomes and jobs once they come home, that they can be able to take care of their own personal needs and their families. And also, many of the veterans that need treatment, which many of them do, we believe that the government and the U.S. government, it is the responsibility of our elected leaders to assure that these people receive the proper treatment that they have or any type of rehabilitation that they need where they can come back into society.
Yes, because however mistaken they were, for whatever reason, they went because they were sent. And that's wrong. So they definitely need the care. Yeah.
And finally, what I'd like to mention also, Ruth Ann, we have a growing crisis that eventually, if we don't deal with it as a nation, we're going to find ourselves basically like as any third world nation, and also like what we see there in Greece. We have, within the next few years, we're approaching debt for this nation that will quickly exceed $20 trillion. And if we maintain the banking system that we have today in this country, if we maintain that type of fiscal irresponsibility, we will see this nation in a state of austerity that will be the likes that no working person has seen ever, even during the Great Depression.
Right.
So this is something as socialists, with the Alexander Mendoza campaign, we realize that we need to take a different approach in regards to handling our fiscal matters for the country. I'd just like to give our website again where people can be able to contact the Alexander Mendoza campaign. As I mentioned, Ruth Ann, that's Stuart Alexander for President, 2012.org. And we are depending on people sending in their contributions. Be certain to, if you listen to the debates, which that's something I would say listen only so you can bring on your questions next week, 40
right.
minutes where we'll be entertaining your comments in regards to whatever impressions you had for the debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in this debate, which is coming up. Again, thanks for joining the program. Ruth Ann, thanks for hosting the program with me today, okay?
Oh, yes, and happy birthday, Stuart's
Oh,
birthday.
Thank you very much, Ruth Ann. Thanks again.
You were nearby.
We'll see you next week.
Okay, everybody.
Bye-bye.
All in Monday. Good night.